Time now for Connecting the Diocese.
One of the most oft-quoted quotes of St. Francis, preach the gospel all time and occasionally use words. The whole idea is that you preach by your life, preach by how you live, you preach by what you do, how you behave. Those sorts of things are so important.
Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse.
Thank you for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese from the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin. My name is Jack Socho, your host for this weekly show. This week coming to you only on Sunday because of some other obligations from Saturday, but we hope that you're enjoying this show. This is going to be kind of a special show, maybe a little more casual than some of our shows have been. We're calling it the Kevin Fever Special. I'll be having my friend Paul Sadek on, talking about a number of different things going on in the world and also some ideas where you can entertain yourself, frequently at no charge, from home using the internet and maybe finding some new music, maybe some new movies, maybe just some new things to explore to keep you from having those walls kind of creep in on you. If it's too cold to go out, if you're too worried about COVID to go out, or whatever the case may be, the Cabin Fever Show is coming your way. There's an awful lot of news out there that can be very depressing to read, but also if you sift around, there's an actual good amount of news that really makes you feel good. And I want to share a recent story from our area, from the greater La Crosse area, the Diocese of La Crosse, that just made my day to read. Now, I realize you may not be in our area, but wherever you are, Nebraska, Iowa, South Dakota, other parts of Wisconsin, these same kinds of stories are going on in your area as well. So, very recently, a family living in a duplex had to flee quickly because the duplex caught fire. They had to break through a rear window in the duplex to get out. It was a mother with several children. Also, her fiancé was there hoping to break the window out, thanks be to God, and they got out. But everything they owned was burned to a crisp or severely smoke damaged and totally beyond repair. Now, this is not a highly moneyed family. You know, they're not super rich. They don't go, oh, well, we'll just buy more. No high-profile person getting in the news. But neighbors on West Avenue couldn't help but notice what had happened. And one of them decided to open up a GoFundMe program so that these folks could begin to rebuild. And then something remarkable happened. Their original goal was to try to get $10,000 to replace everything these people had, their appliances and their clothes and everything. Within a matter of days, money from the local people began to come in. Pretty soon, they reached the $10,000 goal. Within a matter of days, they had reached another goal of $22,000 to help these total strangers. But it got even better. People began donating clothes and began donating appliances and furniture and all kinds of things so that these people could get back to some form of normalcy as quickly as possible. The mother was completely overwhelmed with the amount of generosity that just common people would show to just another one of their own, in many cases, a person they didn't even know. Thank you to all those people in La Crosse who didn't care what the color of the people's skin were, what particular denomination, church they went to, anything else. All they cared about was they wanted to help. And you sure did a great job. Once again, La Crosse, you have a great big heart. You're tuned to Connecting the Diocese. My name is Jack Socha. Back after this. A couple of weeks ago, we had Father James Krasinski on, and he was talking about faith and science, and he was lamenting that he's been realizing that people seem to be losing trust in government, in science, and even in religion. And one thing that I have been hearing lately is people keep saying, why don't these scientists talk straight to us in language we can understand? Why don't they really explain things? It hit me that, you know, they do. You listen to some of their in-house terminology and it doesn't make any sense to you. So I'm going to explain to you something, the scientific method that helps to explain why the vaccines that are products of science are really valuable. First is they say that the tests that they do to make sure the vaccine works are peer-reviewed. What does that mean? It means that other scientists look at how they set up the tests to make sure they didn't miss something. So for example, if a scientist was doing a test on how eating cabbage every week would improve your heart condition, they've got to make sure that the 50 people who got the cabbage and the 50 people who didn't get the cabbage are similar, that you don't have a group of heavy smokers on one side or the other. That's called peer review. Someone's got to look at what you did and say, you set up this thing properly, but you made a mistake here. So assuming that was peer reviewed and then approved, it has to then be duplicated. Someone else has to take exactly the same methodology and duplicate it to see if they get the same results. So when a virus is peer reviewed, so when a vaccine is first peer-reviewed and passes that, and then is duplicated often several times with the same results, you know you've really got something. So next time you hear the latest fad about something like, you know, snorting baby shampoo to prevent COVID, which actually was floating around the internet, just ask him, has your research been peer-reviewed and has it been duplicated? Chances are it hasn't. Well, as promised, I want to welcome back to the show, but also as promised from a distance because of our circumstances, Paul Sadek. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Jack, it's always fun to work with you.
Even if we're not sitting together in a Chinese buffet or in the front seat of my car, which we've
done. It would be much better, but, you know, we do what we can.
Yes, yes. I was happy to find out that the buffet that I thought had closed permanently because of COVID is reopened now and redecorated with social distancing and all that good stuff. So next time, when things get better, we'll have to go there and revisit the place.
I look forward.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. For those of you who don't know Paul, you have a show on Relevant Radio, and what is a coast-to-coast show, for that matter. What is it called?
It's called Daybreak. It's on at 4 a.m. Central, but it's also on the app, so you can listen to it at any time you want to. It's morning devotions with a little bit of a light heart to it.
A little bit of a light heart, yeah. I should also tell people who, again, don't know the two of us, that both of us have been in regular commercial radio for quite a few years before we got involved with the kind of broadcasting that we are currently doing and have done for the past 10 or 12 years. I don't know when you got your start, but how many years total have you been in the radio world?
Oh, God. You know, I'm going to take a guess. Took 5 years off to serve as the communications director for the Diocese of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. But otherwise, I would say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 years.
Yeah, and I'm 10 years behind you on that. But same idea. We've been doing this. And how many years a music playing disc jockey?
Oh, well, that's different, of course. That was probably closer to about 25 or 30.
Okay, so can you remember the types of the last songs that you played when you were doing that? For example, the last batch of songs that I played when I was playing music was things like Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. That gives you an idea how
okay.
That's how far back it goes, right? You know, I mean,
all right. Well, I was actually working at a station that played country music at the time, and I am personally not a huge fan of country music, so I would play some of the old things, like Stonewall Jackson. He did a great song called BJ the DJ, which, you know, you would find near and dear to your heart.
A story about a pal of mine who worked down near the Georgia line as DJ in a little country station. Everybody loved him dear, 'cause he played what they liked to hear. He built himself up quite a reputation. BJ the DJ, you're living much too fast, and if you don't change your ways, don't see how you can last.
I play the old things, and then I play a lot of crossovers like Top of the World by the Carpenters and the Kenny Rogers things and so forth. So, you know, you do what your job is.
Yes, I played country for 1 year. The funniest group, I mean, I don't know why I liked them. There was a group called Dave and Sugar.
Okay.
And Dave was a guy and Sugar were the two female vocalists.
I would hope so.
And they had a song called The Queen of the Silver Dollar.
She's the queen of the silver dollar. He rules a smoky kingdom. The scepter is a wine glass, and a barstool is her throne. Now the jesters flock around her, trying to win her favors, to see which one will take the queen and the silver dollar home.
The titles were the great ones. The one called The Two-Story House. The guy and his wife, he's got his story, she's got hers.
One of my favorites, as far as country music goes, was written by Steve Goodman. You never even called me by my name. It's just a fun.
Oh, was that the one about the woman who meets the guy at the party and next thing she wakes up in Las Vegas married?
No.
Oh, okay. That's another one that was a good country one. Yeah, there was just so many great titles. You know, I'm going to hire a wino to decorate our home. there's just great stuff. And the classic was not a real title, but these were referred to as the When I'm Under the Table, I'll Be Over You songs.
Well, of course, you know what they say happens if you play country music back.
No.
Your dog comes home, you get sober, and your wife comes back.
And how many times, though, have you played some of these songs? I played Sheena Easton, My Baby Takes the Morning Train.
Oh, yes.
More times than I want to remember.
I'm sure. For me, it was Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree by Tony Orlando and Dawn. I played that many, many, many more times than I wanted to.
After you don't hear them for years, that was actually... I hate to say it, but it's a very nice song. I mean, for those of you who don't know, they're always associating it now with the military coming back, but he was in prison, apparently.
I actually kind of liked it when it first came out because I had heard the story many years before, actually in a sermon in church. I thought it was kind of cool that they turned it into a song, but then it got played 500 million times on the radio.
Yeah. There are certain songs like that I know exactly what you're talking about. It's just strange stuff like that. But the reason I'm mentioning all this, I want people to understand that when we speak about broadcasting media, we have a certain point of view. And that, in my opinion, is still a certain valid point of view. I have been following this past week, this whole deal with Spotify and Rogan, who I have never heard. The guy, he's gotten kind of into trouble for things he said on the air. Disinformation, misinformation, bad information. In addition to that, somebody went back and found a bunch of his earlier podcasts that were full of racial slurs, which he has apologized for, but nonetheless, it was still out there.
Mm-hmm.
What got me, a couple of things about this whole mess. Number one, if I heard correctly, the guy's being paid $100 million for X number of years to work there. Paul, when was the last time you made $100 million?
Not in the last couple of weeks.
I think I dreamt about it one night. I'm not sure about that. I was just, for people who understand this, or don't understand it for that matter, most people in broadcasting, if they're good or even reasonable, they can make a living.
Right.
You can make
barely.
You can make a living. Yeah, pretty much do okay. Sometimes in the smaller markets, you have to also play the music at weddings and things like that for the party afterwards. But you can make a living. Some people who strive to get to the big time will make it and make a lot of money.
Right.
Many will try and fail. And then we had one guy, in fact, this was a guy who used to be with our organization, who told us a story about how he got the dream job. He was in the Midwest, you know, doing commercial radio, making okay, you know, not bad. But he got a job offer from Washington, D.C. And he said it was for more money offered to him than he ever thought he would make a year in his life. And so he moved to D.C. with his wife. And by the time they paid the rent and all of the other stuff that goes on, they could hardly even afford to buy a hamburger at McDonald's.
I believe that, yeah.
Yeah.
Cost of living is a big difference from one market to another.
Yeah. I had a friend who was not in the media business, but I went to visit him at his so-called condo in New York City in Manhattan, which was simply an old apartment. I mean, they still had little octagonal tiles on the bathroom floor from 1962, you know, that kind of stuff. And I forget how much he was paying a month, but I mean, it was way more than I thought. Plus, there was a $750 service charge every month just, I guess, for the doorman and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, you know, so just letting you know, folks, that Paul and I are not driving around in our electric Humvees, that we buy a new one when the ashtray is full. You know, none of that stuff. But, and most people in our business are not.
But the other thing is that every time someone like this guy Rogan, and they're referred to collectively by some people as bomb throwers. You know, these guys will get on the air and just throw this thing out and see what it does, because it'll really get people upset. Oh, boy! That when they get their ears pinned back for doing this, they always fall back on the excuse, I'm just here for entertainment. You don't take me seriously. And I was thinking about this. Paul, when we were doing this, entertaining, theoretically, we didn't think that we had to curse on the air, throw out racial epithets, or give out really bad health advice.
We probably would have been looking for a job within 10 minutes.
Yeah, we had to be entertaining in other ways.
Yeah.
And there were plenty of ways to be entertaining without cursing and without making racial slurs. You know, it was a lot of fun. And I remember I was in Marshfield one morning, and it was something like 20 below zero. Some insanity was going on in the weather. And I made some joke about how be careful when you're driving down Main Street, because McDonald's has got some electric cable stretched across to Burger King to jumpstart their deep fryer. And so a totally different world. But we kept it clean and funny. And you have fun on your show even to this day.
Always.
You know, getting back to Spotify, I'm not going to talk too much more about it. One thing people kept saying about Spotify was that, well, there's just all the music you could ever imagine on it. Yeah, but I haven't joined any of these organizations and paid money to hear music, because there's so much of it out there that's just free to listen to. And also, I read someplace that, you know, the average person who's got either an iPod or now an iPhone, you know, they got like 4 gigabytes of music on their iPhone. They really, on average, only listen to about the same 20 songs.
Neil Young got in trouble with Spotify, too. And the prevailing knowledge is that people 30 to 60 are saying, didn't know Neil Young was still alive. The people under 30 are saying, who's Neil Young? And the people over 60 are saying, what's Spotify?
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah, I was just, who was the comedian from Minnesota who just passed away?
Louis Anderson.
I thought he had died several years ago. I got him mixed up with someone else. He cracked me up, I must admit.
He was a funny guy.
Yeah, the bit he did, and he's had that look on his face, that kind of Minnesota look, you know?
Yep.
He could fake the look of his mom. And the deal for Thanksgiving was, you know, okay, take plenty of dressing. I've got more in the refrigerator now. There's more in the freezer too. I've got more in the garage.
You know who else we lost recently? And I only found out about it this weekend. She passed on, I think it was January 26th. Do you remember Sister Janet Mead? In 1973, she did the rock and roll version of the Lord's Prayer.
That was before my Catholic time, I will say. So now I'm going to have to look that one up.
This played on secular radio, American Bandstand even.
We're talking cabin fever, this particular show, things to do. And as long as we're talking about music and Spotify and stuff like that, I am just astounded. I don't care practically what obscure song you can think of from your youth, all right? Chances are somebody has put it on YouTube. And it may not, you know, the video, it may not be a music video. Don't get me wrong. It may just be a picture of the record spinning around or the label.
Very often the case, yes.
Yeah, but people have found this stuff. I don't know where. There was a song I think I heard once when I was a kid, like in 1962, when the Berlin Wall came up. It was a idiotic song. I mean, it was one of these, you know, it was a pop song, but not a rock song, but it was called West of the Wall. And it was the female vocalist was singing, West of the Wall, I'll wait for you.
West of the Wall, I'll wait for you. West of the Wall.
Yeah, her name was Miss Toni Fischer. And quite frankly, in my opinion, she was a little over-caffeinated, trying to do kind of an Edie Gourmet thing, but not quite hitting the mark.
I confess I don't remember that one at all.
Well, you're lucky. Next time you're on YouTube, go to YouTube and type in West of the Wall, and you will be able to hear it.
Okay.
The other song that I heard as a kid, I can remember being in the car listening on the radio, was Frank Sinatra singing the theme from The Cardinal. And I only heard it once or twice. I remember that song for the rest of my life. It was called Stay With Me. And it is also on YouTube. Very few cover versions of it, because frankly, no one could do a better job than he did on that particular song. It is really quite nice.
Should my heart not be humble, should my eyes fail to see, should my feet sometimes stumble on the way, stay with me. Like the lamb that in springtime wandered far from the fold, comes the darkness and the frost. I get lost. I grow cold. I grow cold. I grow weary, and I know I have sinned.
I've never seen the movie, but the Otto Preminger film. But boy, if you want something that sounds pretty inspirational, I would do that. But there's also, you know, new artists. It used to be, back when I was playing music, and I'm sure when you were playing music, that you had to go through the industry. You had to break in, and you know, you had to find a record producer and a record promoter, and you know, if you're lucky, you know, they would make some 45s and mail them out to the stations, and maybe if you got lucky, some disc jockey would play it, or the music director might listen to it.
Now we live in the age of independence.
Yeah.
And you and I have found some real favorites of ours in Fossils and Foxes and the Mona Lisa Twins.
Yeah, and why don't you explain who they are?
Well, Fossils and Foxes is a group of older gentlemen, and I say older, they're probably in their 40s and 50s, and young women who are in their 20s, and they do some fantastic work.
Too many broken hearts have fallen in the river. Too many lonely souls have drifted out to sea. You lay your bets and then you pay the price for the things we do for love.
The things we do for love.
Like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go. When you're feeling like a part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're gonna break up and she says she wants to make up.
Twins are two actual twins. They're young women now, from Austria. They live in Liverpool, so they have kind of a strange accent when they're talking, but they specialize in Beatles covers, but they also do a lot of their own work, which has a 60s flavor to it.
When I get older, losing my hair many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine birthday greetings, bottle of wine? If it'd been now till 43, would you lock the door? Oh, will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Could be handy manning your view when your lights are gone. You can knit the sweats by the fireside, Sunday mornings go for a ride, doing the garden, digging the weeds. Who could ask for more? Oh, will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
I should mention that covers is a term that we use. It means you're singing somebody else's song. And again, the both groups do a lot of covers of popular songs with their own particular twist to them. Anyway, no, and so these are just two groups. Now, no one would have heard of these people had it not been for the fact that they can get out in front of people with music.
Right.
Another one that I found a good 12 years ago, I still get a big kick out of, is called the Red Elvises, rock and roll from Siberia. And they originally were from the Soviet Union or former Soviet Union. I think some of them have moved to the States since then. But and they play electric balalaikas. And they don't do covers. They do their own music, but they gleefully parrot other genres. And they've got one that the original version was in Russian called Kosmonaut Petrov, the American version. And these are on YouTube. It's called I Am a Rocket Man. Bebop Aula. You know, I mean, it's just insane.
The kind of thing you don't hear on commercial radio.
No, you will not hear these things. Not yet. No. But all these things are free on YouTube. So if you're sitting home.
I like the Red Army Chorus doing Happy Together by the Turtles.
I need to take just a pause here to explain, because some of you may think that Paul Sadek has, lost his mind. The Red Army Chorus singing Happy Together. There's a little history going on here. After the fall of the Soviet Union, and when things were much happier than they are right now, a lot of groups that were enamored with Western music broke out and got to travel to other countries, and there was a group called the Leningrad Cowboys. They had as their backup singers the Red Army Chorus, or former members of the Red Army Chorus, and they did all these crazy songs. Finally allowed to get out of the country, they went to other countries nearby. One notable one was they went to Finland. And of course, Finland, they had a war with them. I mean, they were kind of doing like what's going on right now and with our current affairs. So they really had a lot of Ukrainian kind of feelings that are going on with the Russians. So here come the Leningrad Cowboys with the Red Army Chorus. And the first thing they sing is the Finnish national anthem, Finlandia. And just to hear this Russian chorus and this Russian group in Finland singing this, the crowd went wild. And quite seriously, and I hope and I pray that we can get back to those days where we can have this kind of music diplomacy as opposed to what's going on in the current news. But having said that, from several years ago, here's a very small portion to show you what Paul Sadek is talking about. The Leningrad Cowboys doing Happy Together with backup singers. The Red Army Chorus, the kind of thing you'll only hear on Cabin Fever Sunday on this show, the day before Valentine's Day and the day of the Super Bowl.
I do.
Yes.
I can't see nobody.
You can tell that, two guys who played too many commercial songs over their careers get weird after a while.
That's us. Yep.
Yeah, but seriously, these are fun, and you could absolutely spend, you know, you're sitting at home, you don't want to go out, it's 10 below zero, you know, you're afraid to go out to do anything because of COVID or whatever the case may be. You can spend some time looking these things up, and then occasionally you'll find some new talent. And also, I like to look at some of the cuts from the America's Got Talent competitions, the winners, you know. Last week, I was trying to find a song about cabin fever. And the only one I could find that, honest to goodness, that didn't have cursing in it was some Disney thing that was just horrendous, frantic stuff that I just couldn't play. I just thought too much, you know. So I was trying to find a nice version of The Sun Will Come Out Tomorrow from Annie, but I did not want a little girl singing it. There's about 20 million of them on YouTube, a very, you know, of all different types and ages. I found a guy, I think his last name was Herod, who sang it, and you can look it up. You'll see him. He blew them away in this America's Got Talent. They all gave him, like, you know, a million points or whatever they do. But this guy is known apparently now for taking covers, as we called it, and making them his own style. I went on to Amazon. He's got a 5-cut CD you can either buy or download. He even does he sings the theme from Exodus.
Okay.
You know, who the heck will, you know, in 2021, I mean, you know, this was Ferranti and Teicher with the twin pianos back in 1962.
Yeah, but you know who else did a vocal of it?
No.
Pat Boone.
Pat Boone did.
Yeah, matter of fact, he wrote lyrics for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now you see, you learn stuff on this show. This is why you were a disc jockey longer than I was. You were more interested in some of the background of the music, the musicology kind of stuff. I kind of played the records and got ready.
Well, I had an older sister who was 9 years older than me, so I got into a lot of music that should have been way before my time. For as little as I was, I was digging Elvis, and I caught the Beatles right at their inception.
Yeah.
As soon as they came to the U.S.
You know, the thing is, I was raised within literally the shadow of New York and Broadway and all that stuff, and so that music was on the radio back then. Even though I wasn't really cognizant of it, I know an awful lot of show tunes.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually kind of like them. I don't go out of my way to listen to them, but there's a bunch of them that you listen to, and I kind of get almost like a warm fuzzy from hearing them. And again, all this stuff is on YouTube. And in case of videos of, you know, the portions of musicals that were made into movies, they've even got parts of those. It's very interesting that I don't know what the copyright situation is, how they get to do this. I just don't understand it. But for those of us who just want to hear West of the Wall, or either I Am the Rocket Man or Kosmonov Petrov in its original language, you can find those things. They're all there on YouTube, and it's free. You know,
you can even find William Shatner doing Rocket Man.
Yes. Thank you for telling me about that one. You know, we're just going to...
I tell you, the man has ruined Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds for me. Every time I hear the Beatles do it, I can only think of Shatner.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.
But you know something? Everybody from our bishop to Father Krasinski, the astronomer who works with the Vatican Museum, everybody I know who has some interest in the Star Trek TV series just got the biggest kick out of him getting shot into space.
Oh, yeah.
I mean some things in the world you just never expect to happen. Like, you're going to do what?
Yeah.
It was just great. I can take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk a bit more about maybe some things you can do that will not cost you any money that can give you a little more to look at. If you're looking at the same things on TV over and over again, or you know, listening to the same stuff from your personal collection, maybe you can do some of the things. And I've got a couple of movie suggestions to make as well. And Paul, you may as well. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to get back with Paul Sadek. We'll be right back. As you may know, Relevant Radio just finished their week-long pledge drive, which is one of the reasons why we were not on yesterday. And again, I have to thank them and really ask you to support them when they do have these pledge drives, because without them, this show would not be on the air. We've been doing this now for more than 500 shows, spanning close to 10 years, everything from some very serious topics to ones, well, like today, that are quite a bit more whimsical and just carefree. But it all is designed to reach out to people who are not necessarily using the internet, or maybe are staying at home watching the video masses, other ways that our Bishop, Bishop Callahan, can actually get on the air and talk to you directly. He just recently talked about his second case of COVID and how he was in an ambulance with IVs in him. He's doing okay now. But the kind of one-on-one personal things that you don't always get in print or in video. So I would ask you to do two things, please. Do support the folks at Relevant Radio. And please, if you can, let them know that you listen to this show. It would be very nice for them to hear about that. And the second thing is, when the time comes, again, asking for money, the bishop's annual appeal going on, this is only one facet of the many, many ways the Diocese of La Crosse tries to reach out for all different kinds of people who have all different kinds of needs. Everything from helping Catholic charities to just doing the video masses, which is a major project, to doing this show, to doing the Catholic Life magazine, to doing the online courses that are now over at diolc.org that you can take for free because they're being sponsored by your local parish. All these things are going on. So when you have the opportunity to support us and to support Relevant Radio, I would sure ask you to do it because it makes all this possible, and we sure have a lot of fun doing it as well. So again, I thank you for listening, and I deeply thank you for any support you can provide. Paul, I have been hitting a point where, and I'm really deadly serious thinking about this, the thing I'm going to give up for Lent this year, just for the 40 days, is watching movies.
Oh, Jack!
I know. No, I have been watching so many movies while I have been basically staying home for the better part of 2 years that it's beginning to all blur together. Now, this doesn't mean I may look into them, or I may restrict myself to one a week or something, but I mean, I've been watching too many movies, and I've got books to read, and I got audiobooks to listen to. Speaking of audiobooks, now, a lot of you can go on to places where you pay money to hear audiobooks. And frankly, there are some free ones out there, quite a few. Some are read by qualified people. Some are read by not so qualified people.
Right.
But if you have an Android device and perhaps an iPhone, although I'm not sure, there is a product called Chirp, C-H-I-R-P, which is simply a streaming or download audiobook service. And I stumbled across them. And basically, their thing is that a lot of times some of the books are 99 cents.
Okay.
And you can, you know, and other books are like $3.99. But they're seldom ever $18.99 as you find on Amazon. And so consequently, you can find some pretty good books. Some are titles you've heard of. Other ones are kind of new authors. I'm listening to one right now with the great title, Time Travelers Never Die.
Okay.
And it's a fascinating, crazy book about this professor who has managed to make himself disappear in time because he's looking for something and his son is trying to find him. And they keep going to different places where they think the professor might have wanted to visit, including the day in Alabama, in Selma, on the Pettit Bridge. And they're there when it happens. And and one of them gets caught up in it. It's very interesting, but it's a good, for 99 cents, for 9.5 hours of interesting listening, it's very good. And there's all kinds of, you know, the kind of one step down from Tom Clancy type books. You know, not quite Tom Clancy, but not so bad. And also,
I don't actually do audiobooks, but I do have an online reader that will read things out loud to me, and I can pick the voice. And I found that actually what works best is a British female.
Yes, you can do that. And some of the oldest and I mean really old Kindles, have that thing built into them as well. But this thing, again, if you have an Android device, just go to the Google Play Store, and it's called Chirp. And there's no obligation. You don't have to buy anything if you don't want to. And occasionally there'll be something for free. There's no obligation. You haven't got to sign up. You haven't got to pay a yearly fee. Nothing like that. And so it's a good way of listening to some books. I do some of that while I'm exercising and things like that. And you can download them onto your device. So, for example, if you need to listen while you're not near Wi-Fi, you can go ahead and do that. So anyway, that's on my list. I've got all these books to read. Paul, you wouldn't believe. Would not believe.
And I've got a ton of e-books that I haven't touched yet.
Yeah, that's the problem.
They looked so fascinating to me, and now here they sit.
Yeah, it was a good idea at the time. But I think if I take a break from movies, and I love movies. I grew up with movies. You know, I had a movie theater literally 500 feet from where I lived when I was a kid. And so I've grown up on movies. Movies were a quarter in the Army and were Great Escape. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like if you're a kid in a candy store, and you can eat any candy you want as long as you want. I can have all these movies out here now. After a while, you get kind of tired of it. But anyway, having said that.
Not me. I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person who, if I like a movie, I don't mind watching it again. Probably seen A Hard Day's Night and Help at least 30 times each.
There's a couple of ones like that I have seen many times, to which I will never give up. Yes. Three of them, though, I want to point out, and this is a little bit late for Groundhog Day, but the movie Groundhog Day, which some of you probably just watched.
Wonderful film.
I would love to sit down with the seminarians and pick apart some of the message from Groundhog Day. Because the main character, of course, is this weather guy who is very conceited and doesn't think about anybody else. It's all about him. And he's locked into a loop where whatever he does that day has no consequences because it's all going to be done again the next day any way he wants. So what does Bill Murray do? Well, first he acts like a jerk. Then he takes advantage of people. Then he acts outrageous. And then he gets tired of it. And at the end of the movie, and this is kind of a spoiler, he finds out that the only thing he can do that gives him any meaning in this endless repetition of days is helping other people.
Yeah, a great story of redemption.
Yeah, he's got a kid who he knows is going to fall out of the tree at 2 o'clock every afternoon and break his arm, and so he stands under the tree. He knows these ladies are going to have a flat tire, so he's there with a jack and a tire every day. The one, and I haven't figured out what the meaning on this one was, Paul, maybe you can help me out. There is kind of like this homeless guy who is an alcoholic and is basically dying. And he tries everything he can to keep this guy alive, but he can't do it. That was intentional, and I haven't picked that one apart yet.
Yeah, like the nurse said to him, for some people, it's just their time.
Yeah. But if you look at it through that lens, and not to sound too corny, but through a lens of faith, the whole movie takes on a different meaning.
Yeah, it bears some striking resemblance to A Christmas Carol, the story of Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yeah.
A man who, at the end, is something much better than he was at the beginning.
Yeah, precisely. And the other movie that I'm suggesting you watch, it normally is only on Netflix at this point, but sometimes these things end up elsewhere. They get bought out and things like that. You're going to panic when I say, is the new movie out with Leonardo DiCaprio called Don't Look Up?
Okay.
The first thing I'm going to tell you is that the average person out there who right now is so wrapped up in politics and all these things going on is going to automatically assume when they watch it that if they're a liberal, they're going to assume that it's taking a shot at liberals. If they're a conservative, they're going to assume it's taking a shot at conservatives. It isn't doing either one. It is taking a shot at our current society that always trivializes and merchandises every single thing that we do.
Isn't that the truth?
In this case, this Leonardo DiCaprio and his assistant discover that an asteroid, without a doubt, is going to hit the Earth and everyone is going to die. This is a given, unless, of course, they can shoot a bunch of missiles at it before it gets too close and break it into pieces. Well, first, they go to the White House. They're delayed to meet the president because some senatorial candidate for something got caught in some kind of a scandal. and it's much more important to repair this person's reputation than hear about the end of the world, right? They don't take him seriously. And when the guy says there's 100% chance that this is going to happen, the aide to the president goes, no. We never say 100% with this administration. You know, always the way. And so what happens next? They get shunted over to what obviously is Good Morning America. where everything is happy talk and there's nothing serious. And here they are about to announce the world is going to end. And a pop star, who is, by the way, played by, I think it's Ariana Grande.
Okay.
She does a parody of herself. She's in the waiting room, and her boyfriend broke up with her. And the guy, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, says to her, "I'm very sorry to hear about your breakup." And she goes, "Why don't you mind your own business, you old man?" And then she gets on, and they put them on first, of course. They put on the pop stars before the scientists.
Naturally.
And the minute she goes on, the cameras are on, she goes, "Oh, yes, let me tell you the whole story about my boyfriend and I." She's going to share the story with the world, right, after she just told this guy, "Mind your own business." And they get on, and of course, they're not being taken seriously. And the assistant, who's played by another actor whose name I don't remember, splurts out, "We're all going to blank and die." And she makes this face. And of course, the two hosts go, "Well, of course, that's not really going to happen." Next thing you know, it shows the entire internet has all these memes of her making the face going, "We're all going to die." And they're all over, you know, they trivialize the whole thing. And it just keeps going on and on like that. And I'm going to give you a spoiler, because I can't think of anything else to say. The world does come to an end. There's a little more to it than that, but it does come to an end. And the one part of the movie which I thought was particularly touching is that there's a young kid who's kind of, he's a punk. You know, he's got the gray hoodie on, and, you know, he tries to shoplift stuff, and he's with his kid buddies busting bottles against walls in an alley. And he meets the girl who's the PhD candidate, and they get to be friends. And he's talking about he's mentioning some rather philosophical things. And she goes, "How do you know all this stuff?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know. My parents were kind of evangelical." Anyway, so at the end of the movie, the main characters, not the folks from Good Morning America type show, but the other ones, the scientists and a few others, are all sitting around with this kid and this girl. They're about to die. I mean, this thing's about to hit. And they're all sitting here, especially the scientists, saying, shouldn't we be praying or something? None of us know how. How do you pray? And this kid with the hoodie, he goes, "I got this." He says, "Everybody hold your hands, each other's hands." And he puts out, I'm not going to read the prayer right now, but he does this prayer that is absolutely perfect. And then that is essentially the end of the movie. But as the credits roll, don't walk out of the theater. Because you'll see.
Check that out.
It's interesting. Yeah, but again, you're going to think that that it's taking shots at whatever side that you're on. And it's really taking shots at everybody. Everybody. The other one, which I'm going to mention quickly, and this is an indie movie, so it's probably on the various indie places like Amazon, and you know, there's a bunch of them out there like that, Tubi and all those guys. It's called 96 Souls. It is not a perfect movie. As someone said, that the settings all look like it was made for TV, but that's not so bad. But it's about the scientist who accidentally discovers this drug or this medication that allows, for some reason, him to really see people's motivations and what's holding them back.
Oh, scary.
Yeah, and it's represented in the movie by him seeing them, the real them, standing behind the people.
Okay.
So he's in a negotiation with some high-powered pharmaceutical company, and this guy who's trying to act nice as a CEO type is negotiating. But he sees the guy behind him raging, things like that. And it's a very sweet movie because it ends up with him, things work out for the best. They open up a foundation to help the homeless. And he's seeing these people who are troubled, just like what the folks from Catholic Charities say to me. They have to pick apart some of these people's problems before they can really help them. And this beautiful scene where there's this big, angry, not middle-aged, early middle-aged black gentleman who's very quiet and very, you can just tell he's been troubled. He could have been post-traumatic stress. It could be anything you want to think it was. And behind him, he sees what this guy could be, painting, just painting rainbows and doing all this wonderful stuff. And so this guy's therapy is that he will be paid and given lunch and housing to go to an art school. And this guy looks at this and he says, "What am I going to do there?" And he says, "You're going to learn to paint canvases and paint. You need to tell your message another way." But the only thing I would say about it that I would, if I was re-editing it, I would cut out at the very beginning. And they're doing this to show this guy is full of empathy. There's kind of a longer scene where he's having to have his dog put down. That can be cut back dramatically, because if anybody's had their pet put down, I don't want to hear the dialogue. But anyway, those are between Groundhog Day, Don't Look Up, and 96 Souls. That will give you some real food for thought.
Okay. watched anything lately that gives me much food for thought, honestly.
You mean you haven't watched Army of Frankensteins?
No. I mentioned to you by email that I enjoyed a little French film called Mermaid in Paris. It's a charming little story about a guy who is the son of two people who were heavily involved in a countercultural artistic organization in Paris. And I say, think Greenwich Village planted in Paris. And he's lost at love so many times that he figures he has no more to give. And one day on his walk home, he stumbles upon this injured mermaid who has washed up at the docks. He takes her home, tends her wound. She starts to talk to him and tells him that she's had a tough life because her only defense is her song. When she sings, any man who hears it falls in love with her and dies. Well, Gaspard, the main male character, says, well, I'm immune because I have no more love to give. But you can kind of tell where it's going to head after that, because they spend time together and they sing a cute little song together. I won't spoil it. A charming little story and quite clean.
Okay. There's something I read someplace that movies that were rated PG-13, which means pretty clean, generally outgross R-rated movies almost every time. I will leave you on one movie that is so completely crazy that I had to laugh at it. I think it is on Tubi, if I'm not mistaken, now for free. Army of Frankensteins?
Yes.
Yeah, I will give a brief outline and a spoiler.
All right.
A mad scientist in modern day is creating a Frankenstein, and due to something in his equipment, he breaks through at the space-time continuum and accidentally sends himself, his assistant, and this young kid who's one of the main characters, and Frankenstein back to the Civil War. But not only does he send one Frankenstein back to the Civil War, but because of some duplicity, or whatever they call it in the space-time continuum, dozens of Frankensteins go back to the Civil War and are convinced to fight for the North.
Some of these ridiculous movies I bring out to my brother. He's really into the horror genre, and dumber the movie, usually the better.
You know, if you don't want to watch the Super Bowl, or if you, because nobody you like is in it, or whatever is going on.
There are lots of other choices.
And also, as far as music is concerned, and I would say this seriously, there's lots of good music. There's also, if you're looking for something a little more praise style, there's a whole genre of praise music on YouTube now. And you want some music on that is of that nature, it's instrumental, and some of it's like 3 hours long.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of good stuff out there as well. You know, Paul, I should probably say I burned up most of the hour talking, not just you, but we had a good time. Again, you know, we like to every once in a while just sit back and really basically show people why we aren't paid $100 million to be on the air.
Well, we certainly showed them today, Jack.
That's right. We did that correctly. But have a little bit of fun. And also, you know, our take on what's out there. There's a lot of good media out there. By all means, you know, also check out the Diocese of La Crosse website. You can do some formation stuff from Franciscan University in Steubenville. Plus, many of our priests have got their various homilies on YouTube or also on the Diocese of La Crosse website. So, Paul, any final comments before we head out? Again, your show is on when?
4 a.m. Central, but always on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com. You can catch it first thing in the morning, no matter when that is for you, on any of those sources. But it's called Daybreak. And, you know, I sometimes jokingly refer to it as Morning Devotions with a Live Jock.
Thank you for having a good time today. I will talk to you again.
Thank you, Jack. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Jack Socha here with you on the last few minutes of the special Cabin Fever edition of Connecting the Diocese. Hope we have inspired you to look into some music you may not have heard of, or maybe just find some old favorites that you can online. We talked a lot about YouTube, but of course, there's many other places you can go as well. Valentine's Day is tomorrow, and every time I think of Valentine's Day, I of course think of my wife and all the good things that she's done for me and how I'm much better off having been married and been with her for all these years. But I'm also reminded of a song. It is from the TV show from the late 70s, early 80s, Greatest American Hero, which of course is the one about the guy who is the high school teacher dealing with a lot of tough street kids who runs across this technological alien spacesuit that he can put on that gives him superpowers. He can fly, he can do all these things, except that he lost the instruction manual. And this was the running joke throughout the whole series. But the other thing about it was that he really shows off the work that teachers do. Teachers' jobs are so tough, especially right now during this crazy pandemic, working at school, working at home, comboing back and forth. Some kids do well at home, some kids don't. It is a monstrously hard thing to do. So for all of you teachers out there and all of you administrators, Catholic and non-Catholic schools, dealing with the things you're dealing with, I salute you. And this song is for you as well, because you are the greatest American heroes, whether we have a pandemic going on or not. Because you're the ones who are transferring important knowledge and skills to the next generation. Without you, I don't know what we would do. So, this is a song for everyone who is celebrating Valentine's Day with your special person tomorrow, and also for all of you out there in the education profession. I will see you again next week, right here, on Connecting the Diocese.
Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. It should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. High as a wing, on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, the light of a new day, it hit me from out of the blue, breaking me.